We were in 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning in Sunday school here, and there's a verse in that passage that we need to explore in a little more detail. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. It's a very familiar passage to you, one perhaps that you have even memorized. I remember hearing this preached many, many years ago by a preacher who was also a dentist up in Wisconsin. He was bivocational. He had a practice and he had a church. And Pastor Keck had him come in for a conference. I can't even remember how many years ago this has been. 20 plus. Anyway, he kept calling this 2 Tim 2:2. 2 Tim 2:2. And I remember that. And he had a little diagram of a triangle, and he said, if you want to see folks saved, it's going to take, you know, a willing Savior and a willing servant and a willing soul. And I just remember that. And he used this this particular passage for that sermon. Today we're going to talk about just a couple of words that are in this passage in 2 Tim 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And for those of you who were in another Sunday school class this morning or were not here, what you see here simply is Paul had a reputation for teaching Old Testament doctrine and the things that God had revealed to him. Timothy knew what those things were, and he said, I want you to take those things that you've heard and I want you to commit those to faithful men and do it in such a way that they will be able to teach others also. And there's four generations here. There's Paul, there's Timothy, there's those that Timothy teaches, and those that they will teach after they've learned what Timothy's taught them. Four generations are mentioned in this passage. The key for this work to go on is faithful men. If there are not faithful men, there's nobody to teach. And if there's nobody to commit these things to, then they will not be able to teach others also. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, we want to concern ourselves with faithful men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. We ask you, Father, to help us because what we're doing is spiritual work, and we are incapable of doing this work without you. Heavenly Father, your word is powerful. We pray today there'll be no restraint to its power. Your Holy Spirit is powerful, and we pray there will be no restraint to your Holy Spirit's power, that you'd be neither quenched nor grieved, and that, Father, the word would have free course. We pray that you are honored and glorified in all that's done here, and that your word is magnified, and that these dear saints are edified. Father, we don't know the condition of every soul here. Perhaps there's somebody that doesn't even know Jesus Christ. This is not a gospel message, but your Holy Spirit knows how to take any message and stir the heart of a sinner who needs Jesus Christ. So we ask you, please, to help us with this. When we're done, that we'd be well fed and well instructed on what to do. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I look at this passage of Scripture, it's a great burden of mine as well, that we have faithful men. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's nothing in the ministry quite like teaching a faithful man something that he can then pass on to somebody else. I love missions, and I love to see the work of missions in this church. I love that when we have folks here that then you prayerfully consider supporting and we can support. That's a wonderful thing. I love the work of evangelism. It is absolutely thrilling to preach the gospel, to see somebody under the sowing of the seed of the Word of God and through the work of the Spirit of God come to salvation in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. And I love that aspect of the ministry. I love being able to help people. We all have times in our lives where we need somebody who can sit down with us and kind of give us some instruction and help us. And it's wonderful to be able to sit down with somebody, with one of you, and say, let's walk through the thing, and then see you brighten up and come through and find the way and come out And that's just a wonderful aspect of the ministry that you don't get if you're not in something like what we're doing here today. I love singing, and I love congregational singing, and us to get together and special music like you've heard. There's just everything about this that I really enjoy. But I'm going to tell you, the heartbeat in my spirit is to find men that are so interested in what God has given us in the words of God, who will be faithful, who will then be, because of their faithfulness, teachable. Teachable well enough to be able to take what we've learned, what God has written, and go with that to teach others also. That is, to me, the most thrilling thing. I love it all, but to me it's the most thrilling thing in the ministry. When I think, for instance, of all the years that Brian was involved in our work here, and now he's pastoring over there in Beeville where we'd been before, and he and I are talking this week about churches that we mutually know that might need help, and he's got a crew of guys going here and there, and I'm thinking, you know, that guy sat where you're sitting. He sat through hours and hours of private instruction and many times of just praying together and talking through things and going out on the streets together and knocking on doors and all those things that are going to youth camp and organizing things. And now he's doing all that. That's a thrill. And when Pastor Keck was here for the 25th celebration, 25th year celebration of pastoring, and y'all were so gracious to do, he took a picture with Brian. There's a great big smile because he looks and he says, this is what he's saying. This is my grandson. Now, I had an influence in Brother Welder's life who had an influence in another man. I get to see, he's looking at it, I get to see the next generation. He's recounting the man that led him to the Lord and taught him, Brother Modlish, and then how he was able to be such a strong influence in my life, and there's the next generation. He gets to see all four of them right there, and it was a thrill to his soul. It's a thrill to my soul. And so today I'd like to talk with you about that. That very thing, faithful men. Because listen, if you are a faithful man and you can be taught, you can take what God has given us and you can be used by God to pass this on to the next generation. And you have no idea sitting here today who God may choose to raise up among you to be able to accomplish these things. But you want to be, you want to listen. It starts with being a faithful man. Well, what is a faithful? Well, and let's say this before we to go on to this. You understand that God is faithful. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all. Will not suffer you to be tempted. I just quoted it in Sunday school. Above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. God's faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. Absolutely faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Word of God is faithful and true. You know, when God is faithful and the Lord is faithful, the Spirit of God is faithful, that Word is faithful, then He understands what faithful men are. He's looking for somebody who's like Himself in that regard. So we want to talk about some things concerning faithful men today. And first of all, we'd like to say that a faithful man is a faithful saint. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. He's a faithful saint. Colossians chapter 1 and look at verses 1 and 2. Paul's writing a letter to the Colossians. And so he starts out with his customary greetings. And he says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, watch it, to the saints, and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful saints. When Lydia was saved, she was baptized in her household. She besought us, Luke says, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was faithful. So the first thing is that you want to be faithful. You want to be a faithful saint. Well, what is that? You had a life before you got saved. And listen, some of us were blessed before our salvation with some character. And people who had character before their salvation can take that character and bring it into salvation. And those same things that were disciplines in their life before salvation can become disciplines in their life. It makes them, in a way, better Christians because they're already diligent, they're already timely, they're already conscientious, they're already dependable, they're already teachable. It's part of their character. But you know what? Not everybody, and particularly these days that gets saved, had that kind of character in their upbringing. It's so funny. Men today who endured all kinds of hardships in their youth have become successful, say, well, I don't want my child to be raised the way I was raised. And I'm thinking, well, that's how you got to be who you are today. Why would you deny them that opportunity by spoiling them? And now you're getting the results of spoiling the kids, and it's not a good result. And so some of us, we came to salvation without much background in character, without much of that development. But may I tell you something? That doesn't have to be a limiting constraint because that Bible is full of character. And so one of the things the Lord says is when you come to the Lord, He says, listen, I just want you to be a faithful saint. You have a life now of things in Jesus Christ, and you don't want to live these things in Christ the way that you live those things in the world. You still eat food. We know that. Milton's hungry. He's praying, blessing over the food, and I'm trying, Milton, I'll go through this as fast as I can, brother, get you to the buffet. I mean it. So, when you're hungry, you nourish yourself with food. And God says to be faithful saints, you've got to nourish yourself in the words of God. You cannot grow in faith and you cannot be a faithful saint without faithful, diligent study and time in the words of God. I know you get tired of hearing it, but it's so important. You say, why do you keep repeating to us that we need to get in the Word of God? Because when I wake up in the morning, I have to repeat it to myself. Right? We have to stay in this book. Because this is how God builds faithfulness, and this is how God builds faith in you and I when we get saved. We got to be faithful to church. You see, right now you're being instructed in things. God has given a message. You're going to hear the message. But the beautiful thing about what you're hearing today is I didn't have anybody in mind when I was making this message. Boy, I sure hope old so-and-so is here today because if there's ever been a guy that doesn't have any faith, it's that guy. And if he's here, buddy, I'm going to get him right between the eyes. I don't put messages together like that. I put messages together based upon what the Bible says. And the beauty of that is this, simply, that then the Holy Spirit can take God's words and apply those to every life that is here in exactly the way that He wants those things that are said in this message to apply to your life. I had a young man that called me one day and he goes, man, I went to church and he says, you got to do this. And boy, I started doing that. And the next time I went to church, the pastor said, you got to do that. And I started doing that. And then I went to church the next time. He said, now you got to do the other thing. He said, I'm getting worn out with doing this, that, and the other thing. That's too much to do. And I said, hey, whoa, calm down. Calm down. The pastor's preaching the Word of God. And there are certain areas in your life that need to change. Change those things, but there's other areas in your life that are going along fine. Don't exhaust yourself trying to be the Holy Spirit and apply every single word to every detail of your life. And he goes, wow, that was a great help. And now he's growing because God's just building up a faithful person. That's so important. But listen, you're going to hear that and the Holy Spirit's going to apply it. You know what? There's going to be another message preached tonight. You say, yeah, but Brother Gondelman's going to preach that we're going to watch football. Might be a good choice. No, I'm just kidding. You know me. I always try to ruffle the feather of these guys so that we get in here, they can relax. You know what? I am looking forward. I really am. I am looking forward to what Brother Gonham is going to preach tonight. You say, why? But I've been praying for him, knowing this meeting was coming for months. We've been praying. Tony and Randy and I together have been praying for this meeting. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God has given him something we need, and I want to be here for that. If you don't come, you miss that. And you know what you do? Then you miss an opportunity. That's faithfulness. Wednesday night, you know, we have something else that goes on here, and I look back on Wednesday night messages, and I think, God, how you use those things to help people in the church and how you use those things to help me. That's faithfulness, being here for those meetings. He wants you to be faithful with your giving, and many of you are. I don't know. I'm not addressing people that I know specifically here one way or the other, but the thing is, God said when we got saved, he says, what I want you to do is take a portion of your income, and he tells you what it is. I want you to give a tithe and take care of these things that are in the ministry. Amazing thing. There are many that can stand up right now and say, Brother Weller, I want to testify how God has blessed our household through tithing. God bless his faithfulness. He wants us to be obedient to the words of God. He wants us to be selfless in our faithfulness, that we are doing what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. You see, what happens is that when a person gets saved and he becomes a faithful saint, he begins to apply himself to the new life in Christ more than he did to the natural things. He may have loved hunting and fishing and golfing and every recreational activity that he could think of on the weekends because he works hard during the week. And now he says, you know what, I got to blow off a lot of that because I want to be there for God. I want to grow up and be a man of God. And so things change. His priorities change. His ambitions change. His aspirations change. His duties change. And the next thing you know, he's just lining himself up to say, God, I'm here. And I'm going to tell you something, that gets tested. That faithfulness just gets tested. It really does. If you in a carnal sense, if you say, okay, my family and I, we've got a current situation going on, we're going to go on a budget, you get tested on that thing. Next week, something that's not part of the budget happens. You go, now, how are we going to do this? You say, I'm going to be faithful. And all of a sudden, man, you are hit with an opportunity to not be faithful. And you got to make a serious choice. Those things, those are the trials of your faith. And you get tested with those things. You say, why? To prove the sincerity of your heart. To prove to you that God is faithful. And when you choose to be faithful, he will help you grow as a faithful saint. He puts you through things like that that you have to endure, and one day you look back and that thing was so troublesome in your life and you're like, man, I've just barely survived that. And now you're way over here and you look back on that and you think, that was such a silly little thing to get all upset about. But you weren't very strong back then. And now you're much stronger in your faith and you look back and you think, wow. Listen, God wants us to trust him with our spiritual lives, not just with our souls. And so we have to be faithful to him. A faithful man is a faithful saint. He's God's man. He's God's man, not his own man. He resigns the commission and he says, God, from now on I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going the direction you're going. And that's how we're going to do it. And boy, when you find a man like that, it's refreshing because you know his life is going to change. You know his life is going to grow. But something else, a faithful man is not only a faithful saint, but a faithful man is a faithful, I have to have an S word. Everything here is going to begin with S, so I have to have an S word. He's a faithful sibling. And I'm not talking about your flesh and blood family. I'm talking about the family of God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse 9. Verse 7 for the context, Colossians chapter 4 verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and faithful and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, watch it, a faithful and beloved brother, who's one of you. A faithful and beloved brother. You're a sibling. You see, when you got saved, your family changed. Your family changed. I realize you still have your earthly family, your flesh and blood family, but Jesus Christ, in instructing his disciples, said, listen, if a man doesn't hate his father and mother and brother and sister and wife and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. You say, why would it come to that? Well, think of your own life. Are there not preferences and desires in your life that are contrary to God's desire for your life? And when those run contrary to each other, Don't you have to say, listen, I am not going to go the way that my heart desires. I'm going to go the way the Lord does. And so a man, in that sense, hates his life. Do you not know that there are times when God is leading in a family and the husband says to his wife, dear, we need to go this way. And she says, I ain't going that way. And he says, honey, I love you, but I hate you. He doesn't say that. He wouldn't dare. He likes scrambled eggs in the morning for breakfast too much. But the point is, he has to stand there against that so that he can lead his family in that direction. If his mother or his father or his brother or his sister puts pressure on him to not do what God wants to do. Hey, were Jesus Christ's brothers on board with him when he was here in the ministry? No, they weren't. Now, they got on board after his ascension, but before that, they were making fun of him. They weren't on board with him. And so he just, you know, he's going on with God. So we have a new family. And a lot of those obligations that we felt to these things that we had before, like family obligations, change. And this is now my family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And not only those of us that are gathered here, but there we have brothers and sisters, as you know, you just helped them with this hurricane thing, that are in other parts of the state, other parts of the world. You got brothers and sisters in Christ that are children of God who've come to God through your efforts and missions all over the world, and many, many, many that you won't know until you get to heaven. You know what? You represent the body of Christ. You're a child of God. Can other people tell by the way you live your life outside of this building, out there in the world, that you're God's child? Do they realize you belong to a different family than the family of the devil and the family of Adam? Do they realize that? Is there enough of your testimony that they look at that and say, I don't know about all these other guys, but that fellow right there is a man of God. See, a faithful sibling. You're part of the church. You know, we often think, particularly like, well, we think of folks and we say, you know, we are representatives of Bible Believers Baptist Church. We're representatives of each other. Listen, if I stand here in the pulpit and I give you things from the Word of God, and then I go outside here and I live like a wild man, and you're over there telling your friends, man, you really ought to come to our church, boy. Our pastor can preach and teach. I don't know if you could say that, but if you could. but then they say, yeah, but wasn't he the guy that was acting a fool over here the other day? That's what I saw your pastor doing. You'd be like, wow, this is getting to really be tough. He's asking us to invite people to church, but everywhere he goes, he's got a reputation outside here that's terrible. Well, I represent something far greater than myself. I represent you, us, and so do you. These members of Bible Believers Baptist Church. And listen, a faithful man understands he's faithful to the Lord, but he's also faithful, listen, to his brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Paul writes this in several places, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Romans chapter 14. He says, you know what, a lot of times we restrain ourselves from doing certain things that we have the liberty to do because it would cause a weaker brother to fall. And Paul said that's a sin against Christ if you would cause a weaker brother to fall. He recognizes in his faithfulness, I have to be conscious of the fact that I am one of many. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm in a church. And I'm not just an island out there all to myself to do whatever I want, to say whatever I want, act like whatever I want. Because other people are affected by this. That's a faithful man. He's a faithful saint. He is there and he's a faithful sibling. He shows up for family functions. He's part of the family, which leads to the next thing. Matthew chapter 20. Oh, by the way, and I might say this, you know, your faith gets tested, so does your faithfulness to the body. Some of your best friendships really get strained to see if they really are friendships or were they with just convenient associations. Matthew chapter 20. Do you know the difference between a faithful association and a convenient association? A faithful association is one that's been put to the test, and both of you came through that fire and said, I told you I'm your brother and I'm here with you. A convenient one is a fair weather friend. Gone as soon as the weather changes. Matthew chapter 20. And look at verse 26 and 27. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. A faithful man is a faithful saint. A faithful man is a faithful sibling. And a faithful man is a faithful servant. You see how this thing is progressing? Here's this guy out here lost, and he gets saved, and he's like, wow, I'm a child of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? And he starts becoming faithful to the things that are clearly part of his new life in Christ. And then he looks around and he goes, hey, I'm not the only one saved. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he becomes a faithful member of the body of Christ. And he is aware that what he does is a reflection upon what other people do. And so he wants to be faithful. And then he recognizes there are people in this body that need what God has given me. I fit somewhere here. I'm a faithful servant. In other words, since we are in the body, and you've heard this described many times, some are eyes, some are hair, some are ears, some are feet, some are hands, we all have something to do, and by the fact that we have been put into this same body, there's something that I have that benefits you, and there's something you have that benefits me. And sometimes there's something that you have that's beneficial to somebody else, and something else I have that's beneficial to the same person, and working together we can help them. You know, Paul said in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then he says, let every man bear his own burden. You say, how does that work? You do everything that you're supposed to do in the body of Christ. And where you have a certain need, there will be others in the body of Christ that are there to bear that need. And you realize, I am not a sponge. I don't come here just to get. I'm a part of this body to give. I have something to offer. That's a faithful man. It's a process of growth. He doesn't understand that the day he gets saved. He doesn't really understand that as he realizes how much a part of the body is. He understands that when he becomes a functional member of the body. You say, I don't know, when you preach this, preacher, I don't know if I'm a faithful man or not based upon what you're saying. How is God using you to help others in the body right now? Do you know? You know, sometimes you reflect upon it, and I'm thinking about how some of you have come to me before and saying, I would like to do something for the Lord. And then we've talked about it and found that you're already doing some things that are very beneficial to the body. But when a person realizes, I have something to offer, I can serve, I can minister to others, he's a blessing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We've already read about Tychicus in Colossians, but look at it here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye may also know, or that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, watch it, and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. You know what a faithful minister in the Lord is? Paul knew that he could say to Tychicus, go to Ephesus. They need you. And he could count on that man to accomplish what he was given to do. A faithful servant. What are some of the demonstrations of a faithful servant? One time I was talking to a young man and he goes, my boss is not happy with me. I said, really? Why is he not happy with you? He said, because I don't do what he says. I said, well, if you were working for me, I wouldn't be happy with that either. Let's talk about this. How is it that you aren't getting done what he's telling you to do? So we really kind of broke it down. I said, tell me how is it? Where do you stand when you come in the office? How does he give you the instruction? Does he write them down? Does he tell you? What are you thinking about when he's talking to you? Why is it that you're not getting the instruction? What do you do when you leave the office? And how do you try to execute on? I mean, we're just trying to break it down. See, how is this possible? Because I know he wanted to help, but it wasn't working out. And he had the kind of personality that he was really concerned what other people thought about him all the time. Anybody in here have that kind of personality? Yeah. So what he would do is, when he would go into his boss's office, he would stand there and try to look like a very good employee. You know, hold his head just right and all that stuff. And he was so concerned about his posturing, he wasn't listening to what the man was saying. So the man would say him all that, and he'd walk out and he'd go, "I don't even know what I'm supposed to do." Finally, his boss came to him, he said, "Dude, if you can't start doing what I'm telling you to do, we're going to have to end this relationship." So he came to me, "How do I do that?" I said, "Quit posturing. He does not care what you look like. You're not trying to marry the guy, okay? You're not trying to win a contest and be voted the most popular. Go in there, however, take a pad of paper, whatever. Listen to what the man is saying, and then when you leave the office, go do exactly what he said. Not more, not less, just what he said." So about 3 or 4 weeks later, we got to talking again. I said, "How are things going?" He said, "It's amazing. You know, at least he doesn't hate me now." I said, "What's the difference?" "Well, I started doing what he said, and it seems to have made a difference." I know that seems very silly, but don't you know that's exactly how it is with the Lord? Sometimes we get so concerned. I appreciate Brother Gonerman in this. He stand up here saying, "Everything I have on except for my pants is borrowed." I mean, they were so worn out with helping over there at East River Baptist Church. He got out here without some of the things. And I said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the borrowed shirt and the borrowed tie. Don't worry about it. These folks don't care, do you?" "No, they don't care." It's not posturing. Can you deliver? Can you deliver? Does God know if I give you something to do for the benefit of somebody else in the body of Christ that you will do exactly what I wanted you to do, exactly the way that I told you to do it, without trying to do more to impress anybody, or without doing less to cut short? Because if you can do that, you're a faithful man. And if you're not involved in that, you have to ask yourself, can I be counted among those that are faithful? Am I even a faithful saint? Am I really a faithful sibling? Can God count on me to be a faithful servant? Will I do what I'm told when I'm given the opportunity? That's what he's looking for. It's a faithful man. And then one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, one more. Hurry, y'all get there because Milton's got to go eat. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 2. "Moreover," you've seen this verse before, "it is required in stewards," it's logical, it begins with an S, it had to be, "that a man be found faithful." A faithful steward. A faithful steward. All right, how is a faithful steward different than a faithful servant? A faithful steward is not somebody that was just told, "This, go do this," and then he executes on it. A faithful steward is somebody that's been given responsibility over something, and now that's what he does all the time. When Paul's stewardship was, "You are the minister of the gospel to the uncircumcision," Paul said, "I labored above them all." He went after that thing and went everywhere he possibly could. They stoned him, they whipped him, they beat him, they threw him in prison. He was shipwrecked, he was hungry, he was starved, he fasted, he had to work with his own hands. He had some guys that traveled with him that were faithful, and he had some guys that traveled with him that forsook him. It didn't make any difference. He said, "I have a stewardship, I have a dispensation of the gospel. I must continue this course, I must continue this fight, I must be a man of faith until the Lord calls me home. This is my stewardship, and I will not quit." God said, "I believe I'll use that man right there. That guy knows what's going on here. I gave him something, and he took responsibility over it just the same way that I would if I were there doing it myself." Very different than a servant. A servant recognizes the need, and he's being used. It's just that heart that comes to him. He says, "I'm not going to make myself better than these that are around me. I'm going to make myself a minister and a servant." And a steward has been given an entrust, a responsibility. Paul said that God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He said, "You got a ministry." Faithful steward. Boy, when that falls upon your shoulders, you realize Paul said to Timothy, "Commit these things to faithful men." As I explained in Sunday school, he didn't just say, "Go teach them." Don't just teach them about the mystery of iniquity. Don't just go teach them about the mystery of the body of Christ. Don't just go teach them about the rapture. You commit these things to them so that when you're gone, like I'm getting ready to be gone, they can continue on exactly the way that we've continued on. Because they're going to have to safeguard these things. They're going to have to keep them. We can't let these things slide. I believe today we're not seeing as much faithful stewardship as we should. People have received these things. They received the words of God from people literally who gave their lives to preserve the words in a King James Bible. They said, we don't need those. We'll just translate some of our own words, and came up with these modern Bibles and all kinds of marketing schemes in order to make money off of the books that they were selling, telling everybody that these are going to be easier to read and this is what you need. They've not been faithful stewards to the words of God. They gave up their stewardship. Maybe they have a servant's heart. Maybe they really are the faithful siblings. But they dropped out on the stewardship. God said, this is the way I want my churches. He showed us in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 how he wanted churches to go. And he showed us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, how he wanted churches to go. And they say, we don't need that. We found a business model that works. We can get up a big old crowd. Let's get the girls in here and get them half naked, and they can stand up there with pom-poms and cheer us on to glory as we have big rock and roll bands and a great deal, and we'll cut the service down to an hour, get rid of Sunday night, get rid of Wednesday night, have a big party, raise a lot of money. Yay, God! That's not faithful stewardship. God said, I want you to do this my way. And they said, we'll do it our way. And we'll show you we're more successful than you are. God said, that's not faithful. Big fash in a pan. Hey, my Holy Spirit is not restrained. There are people that still get saved in situations like that. I'm not arguing with that. But where do they grow from there? They can't. Why? No faithfulness. No faithfulness. Planted and strengthened that thing on a business model, not on a Bible. And it's disconcerting. We're not looking for people who can make a big flash in the pan and a great impression and a big smiley face up on the billboard for everybody to see and sell a lot of books. What do you need with all those books? You got the Bible. You know why they're selling so many of those? Because nobody's reading the Bible. You keep selling all that stuff, and people don't have time to read the Bible because they're too busy reading your book and watching your videos, listening to your podcasts. Did you see him on YouTube? Who cares, man? What a wonderful Savior. Why don't you just get up in the morning and read what God said? Oh, what a difference that is. Faithful men. You see, you're going to be tested as a saint. You say, I want to be faithful to God, and the devil's going to show up. You say, you really plan on doing that? With all my life and a faithful sibling, I don't want to do things in my life that are going to be a bad reflection on you, nor should you on others. I'm going to be a faithful servant because I'm not in this for myself. I'm in this for you. How can I help? I'm going to be a faithful steward when God does dump something in my lap, buddy. We're going to make sure we get this thing done with the same fervor and zeal that Paul did when he gave it to us. Till Jesus comes or I die. Now that's a faithful man. If you're one of those, God can do something with you. If you're not, once you become one. Because we need as many as we can to impart these things and commit these things to you. So you will be able to teach others also. Somebody has to keep this. I'm not talking about Bible Believers Baptist Church. God will do whatever he wants to with Bible Believers Baptist Church. Somebody's got to keep this Word of God, this gospel going till Jesus comes. And if he doesn't come till after we're dead, who of you will be here to do it? Faithful men. Faithful men. It's a great responsibility. It's a great charge. My question to you is, will you be faithful? As a saint, as a sibling, as a servant, as a steward. If you will, God can keep this going. If you will, these things will be committed to you. If you will find your greatest satisfaction in your highest calling. And I pray that you will. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach these words today. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stir the hearts, stir the hearts, stir the hearts. We're blessed, Lord. Christianity's taken on a feminism these days, and we're looking at a sea full of men and their families here today. And I'm thankful for them. I love them. I pray you'll use this message to stir the hearts of these that are here to faithfulness. So your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I didn't even preach the gospel today. I'm not even going to offer that to you. I'm just going to say, if you came here lost and you're not saved, you just come. You'll see me. I'll be back there by the back door. You just say, "Preacher, preach the gospel to me. I came here looking for Jesus." We'll do that. My concern is about these men here today. Let me ask you something, you guys that got you. I'm not looking around for a head count. I'm not doing that. I'm looking for you to make some response here between you and God. I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you this. Who of these men, your heads are bowed, and say before God, "God, I want to be a faithful man. I want to be a faithful man, and I'm going to start by being a faithful saint." Boy, if that's you, you covenant that thing between you and God with God's grace and help. Paul said, "Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus." What's he told him in 2 Timothy 2:1? "I can't do this by myself, but I will by your grace. I want to be a faithful man. I want you to be able to count on me. I want my brothers and sisters to count on me. I want those who tell me what to do to count on me. And when you dump something in my lap, I want you to count on me by your grace to discharge my responsibility." That's in you. You put that before the Lord and ask Him to help you. If you're already a faithful saint, you're already a faithful sibling, ask Him to help you be a faithful servant. You're already all three of those, ask Him to help you be a faithful steward. God, help us in this invitation to respond as you please, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.